here tonight. He and I were in school together. Noah and his sons and us were all in school together back then, before the flood. But anyway, it's a blessing. There's not tons of men that I went to school with that are still serving, and serving in the same way, and with the same beliefs. And so it's a precious thing to have a friendship with one who is, and appreciate his ministry. And Brother Gomez and his pastor buddies, future pastor buddies, would all sit up front in the amen section. And Brother Booth and his evangelist buddies, Randy Taylor, would sit back over here and go back and forth. I was stuck kind of in the middle somewhere, but kind of more friends with this bunch than with his bunch, that's for sure. But anyway, with how the Lord's changed that. Brother Booth always delivers a Bible message, and won't be any different tonight. So we'll hear him after the ladies sing. He'll preach to us.
So good to be here again. I appreciate always the opportunity, and of course I love your pastor. He's such a blessing and a dear friend, and has been for all these years. And I just a blessing to get to see Brother Ben, and just letting him know my son Paul told me to be sure to say hi to Ben. I told him he's going to be here, and Paul said, yeah, we used to play on the same team a lot of times at football camp. And he said, in fact, Ben was the one who taught me how to cheat, Dad. And no, he didn't say that, brother. Anyway, go back a lot of years, a lot of great memories, and God's been awfully good to all of us, hasn't he? And I'm thankful that I have the joy and privilege to preach. I come in tonight. We were standing back shaking hands. The music began to play before the service, and I thought, man, I feel sorry for folks that don't enjoy being in church. I mean, what a blessing to be in church. And I just love the Lord's church. It's so good to be. And thank you so much. Many of you ask about how I was feeling, my health and everything. And I have a Christian cardiologist, and that's a blessing. And he came in before the procedure. He said, just want you to know, this morning I was praying about this and praying for you. And I said, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I prayed for you this morning as well. I'm beginning to think, you know, is that a good thing? He's really praying about this procedure, you know. But anyway, praise the Lord. They They were able to do what they needed to for the time being. There's some possible surgeries down the road, but anyway, the Lord's been good. And I told my cardiologist when he was talking about doing the procedure, I said, you know, the Bible already tells us that heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. He said, there's not much I can do about that, but I might be able to clean up a stent in there or something, you know. And so... Anyway, Brother Woodward said, yeah, a lot of sin up in there, isn't there? I said, yeah, I've been hanging around you 26 years now. What do you expect? So, anyway, praise the Lord. I'm feeling better than I've been feeling for the last 4 or 5 months. And so, praise God, it's amazing what the doctors can do, isn't it? And so, I'm thankful to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. We're not getting any younger. And I don't know if you've heard this already or not, but just act like you didn't. I say, you know, that boy said to his grandpa, Grandpa, he said, you're always so sweet to Grandma. He said, you know, you call her sweetheart and sugar and honey. And, you know, what's been the secret? He said, well, son, about 5 years ago, I forgot her name and I've been afraid to ask. So I think I'm getting there. Amen. Well, open your Bibles, please, tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. I guess the longer I serve the Lord, Pastor kind of made a reference, Brother Angel did a little bit ago, about, you know, how many drop out of the race along the way, and it always is grieving. And you know, really, there's no need to. There's just never a need to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, we come here to this passage of Scripture. Paul's in his late 50s, from what we can gather, and it's been 25, 26 years since he was born again on the Damascus Road that day, and he's had 20 years now in the ministry. He writes this letter to the Corinthian church. It's a personal letter, sharing personal experience. And in chapter 11, he starts out in verse 1. He says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. He was being attacked. He was being lied about. He said, bear with me a little bit as I feel the need to somewhat defend so that you understand what the devil is trying to do to undermine you. And then he goes through in chapter 11, he gets to this place where he begins to share the trials that God had allowed him to go through. And as you read it a little bit slower, it's really almost overwhelming. In verse 23, it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, otherwise more than we can count. I mean, this is the man of God, Apostle Paul, whose only heart's desire after being saved was to honor and please and glorify his Lord. He says, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh on me daily the care of all the churches. Who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a wall, in a basket, was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I mean, sharing this with the Corinthians. Sometimes the society and time we live in, it's always about, well, God will, He'll always take care of you. He'll always provide for you. It'll, you know, and we begin to think when we go through some difficult times, like, God has forsaken me. I mean, can you imagine what Paul must has gone through his mind? All of these tremendous, incredible trials. All of this upon him. When he's done nothing but sacrifice and given of himself to be spent and glad to be spent to reach souls for Christ, to love the people. And then we go to chapter 12. Verse 7 says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Lord, would you please bless your precious word tonight? I don't know, Lord, exactly who needs what sitting here tonight. Lord, you know every heart, you know every life, you know every situation. And Father, I ask you, Lord, for wisdom from above. You'd help me to say the things that would honor and please thee and the most of all, Lord Jesus, that you'd be pleased and glorified with all that takes place now, and that our response would please and glorify thee. And I pray, Lord, somebody would receive help, Lord, that would bear eternal fruit because of it. We'll gladly praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On top of all of these perils and all of these trials, and then a thorn in the flesh from Satan that God allowed to buffet him. I'm thinking, how much more can you take, Paul? How much more can you take? A youth pastor told me one time of a young lady in his youth ministry that her mama kind of mentally just flipped out. Left the family, denied that she even had a daughter or a husband or children. They tried to help the young lady with get her locked into a relationship with a lady in the church that could help bring her along. And then that lady, her husband got transferred. And they got another lady to help her. That lady died with cancer. And that youth pastor said to me, sometimes I prayed and said, "Lord, how much do you think this little girl can take?" And I read this with the Apostle Paul. I preached for a fellow whose wife was diagnosed with a severe kind of cancer that they didn't have any kind of answers for. All they could do is try experimental things. For the next 16 months, his wife's total personality changed. He said instead of her, Brother Booth, having the grace that God so often gives in death, she got mean and angry and hateful. He said, "Sometimes I would leave in the middle of the night and walk out of the house and look up at the midnight sky and say, 'Dear God, how much more do you think I could take?'" The great man of God, Elijah, after his confrontation with with the prophets of Baal and that miracle that God sent down the fire, and yet just after that, old Jezebel was after Elijah, and this man of God, as human as you and I, went out and sat under a juniper tree and said, "Lord, I just can't take it anymore. Just take me on home." King David, as godly as David was, amazing to study the life of David. A man after God's own heart that wrote those precious psalms and that tender relationship with the Lord. And yet David, after being pursued by Paul daily, the Bible said, or by Saul daily, the Bible says, for 3 years, David got so discouraged with it all, he just said, "I can't take any more. I'm going to go join the Philistines." And David moved to a Philistine town. And that man who had such communication with God for so long, there's no record of him having communication for almost 3 years. There's nothing more that our enemy wants than for you and I to throw in the towel. To just give up. How much more could you take, Paul? Well, Paul says, "Let me tell you what my Lord said to me. I cried out 3 times and asked Him to take this thorn away from me, but here's what He said. Here was His answer. He said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee.'" Do we really believe that? He, notice that. He said. I mean, this grace includes favor from God Almighty, riches, divine influence, provisions. And notice, it wasn't just a preacher that said this. It wasn't another apostle that said this. He said unto me, the one who mercifully had saved Paul, the one who had shed His blood for Paul, the one that continually watched over Paul through his ministry, the one that was risen from the dead, the one that Paul had preached for and given up everything and counted all but dung for the privilege to serve and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was He that said it to him. It was Him that spoke to Paul audibly in his heart. He was not ignoring Paul's pain. He was not ignoring the trials. He was not ignoring his needs. I love the song, "Does Jesus Care When My Heart Is Pained Too Deeply for Mirth or Song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there's no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." He said. What did He say, Paul? Oh, He said, "My grace." Not just grace. My grace. Not from anybody else. My grace. I mean, this is He that it was proclaimed of that was full of grace and truth. This was from not from the lips of another, or these would just be empty and meaningless words. But His grace, it involves the omnipotence of the Almighty, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the passion and possession of all divine resources, the perfect knowledge of all human needs. Paul said, "He said unto me, 'My grace.'" And then what a precious word he used. "Is sufficient." Sufficient. It means all the need requires. Exhaustless. Sufficient. Never too much. Never too little. Sufficient. Never too soon. Never too late. Sufficient. You see, grace for tomorrow's needs don't come today, Christian. And grace for today, today's needs won't come tomorrow. They're just sufficient. Christ's way is to make us equal to our circumstances rather than change our circumstances to what we think we need. Philip Brooks said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Can you take any more, Paul? How can you deal with anything else? I mean, how are you holding up with all of this? Well, he said, my grace is sufficient. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Christian. If His grace isn't sufficient for you, then the Bible's not true. We believe it or not. We got too many people that are thrown in the towel. Well, man, that just isn't fair. You know, this happened to me and that happened to me. Let me tell you something. It's still true that His grace is sufficient. And then he said, by the way, Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm afraid in independent fundamental Baptist circles, we've got more interested in being strong than being weak for Him. We want more of us to increase than more of us to decrease and Him to increase. But His strength is only made perfect in weakness. It requires weakness. And it would be a wonderful thing if we'd get back to loving Him so much, Christian, that our greatest heart's desire is more to be like Thee. Blessed Redeemer, more to be like Thee, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy fullness, come in Thy sweetness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Well, if we want that, it requires weakness. You see, God doesn't need our strength. Our strength, our wisdom, our self-sufficiency, our talent alone, our ability to manipulate and figure things out does nothing but hinder the working of His strength. Self-sufficiency is insufficiency spiritually. When we are strong, there's no more room for His strength. And so if we want His strength to be manifested, and He's got to allow those things to come to make us weak to where we understand, I can't make it minute by minute without You, Lord. I need You for everything. I don't have it figured out, Lord. Don't need to figure it out. I just need You. A preacher in Australia had heard about a crippled woman. At 18 years of age, he was so amazed by her story and intrigued by it. At 18 years of age, this dear Christian girl took to some kind of a disease that affected both of her feet. It affected in such a way that they had no other choice but they had to amputate both of her feet. But it didn't solve the problem. It continued to crawl up her legs until they had to amputate the legs at the knees. It didn't solve the problem. It continued to crawl up her legs and thighs until they had to amputate at the hips. And then after that, it began in her hands and her arms until finally she was left with nothing but a torso. But still living, still breathing. She had been this way for 15 years. The word began to get out that when she would be visited, the visitors would find there were Bible verses all over her walls hanging that spoke about joy and about peace and about power. She had a carpenter friend that was somewhat ingenious, and she asked him, do you think you could create something that would enable me to hold a pen with my shoulder and my jaw and be able to write? And he created something, that a little harness that they put on her, and she was able to hold a pen with her shoulder, and she began to write letters explaining the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Began to mail them out just randomly, literally thousands of those letters. They said the amazing thing was that her penmanship was so beautiful that it would make most artistic people stand with envy. From that room, she sent out thousands of letters. When it came to the end of her life, they gathered up a pile of responses from those letters of over 1,500 souls that had been saved from her letters. His grace is sufficient. Annie Johnson Flint was crippled with severe arthritis as a girl. The pain, they said, was so intense that they had to get 9 soft pillows. She couldn't lay in a bed and sleep. 9 extra soft pillows that were built around to where she could lay in that and try to get some rest. Annie Johnson Flint, in all of her difficulty, wrote these words, "God hath not promised skies ever blue, flower-strewn pathways all the lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, or joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest and labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love." And Paul, how much more can you take? Well, I asked the Lord 3 times to remove that thorn, but His response was, "Paul, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, I love this part. Notice Paul's response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and approaches in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong." You know how Paul was able to receive that grace? See, you can't receive grace from a posture of pride. You can't receive grace when you think God owes you better. You can't receive grace when you've been griping and whining and angry about the events that God has allowed to take place in your life. You can't receive grace from a position of bitterness. For God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Paul's response was not, "God, don't you see what I'm doing for you, Lord? Don't you see what I've given up for you, Lord? Don't you see that I'm trying to serve you with all my... Lord, this isn't the right thing, Lord. Don't you... I command you to..." No, that wasn't Paul's response. No, Paul had a surrendered will. Do you? With whatever the Lord's allowing in your life to make you more like Him, with the weakness that He's trying to produce so that He'll be strong in you? Is there that surrendered will? "I'll gladly, therefore, glory in my infirmities, if that's what it takes for your power to rest upon me. If that's what it needs, if that's what you know is needed, Lord." The victory comes when the will is happily surrendered. Look at Philippians chapter 2 with me real quick. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind? "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Our Lord, under the will of the Father, was willing to lay aside His reputation, to be a servant, He that was Lord of all, to be a servant, to be obedient even unto death. The death of the cross. Victory comes when the will is happily surrendered. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that has kept me going in my Christian life, I have failed Him more than I wish I'd ever failed Him. I've had some trials, not like Paul. But you know what's kept me going? When I get down to the place where the old devil says, why don't you just give up and do something else? And I think, yeah, that's exactly what you want. And I hate that stinking enemy so much. I know if he could have anything, if he could desire. Listen, you say, but you don't know, I've messed up in my life. Listen, what he wants you to do is quit above all things. He just wants you to quit. There's no need to quit because God still has grace sufficient for you and me. If we'd come with a willing heart and say, okay, Lord, whatever trials you've got a plan, you got a purpose, you're working some good things in me, and I don't have to understand it. I'll gladly receive it, Lord, but I need your grace. The songwriter wrote, His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power no boundary known unto men, and out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and He giveth again. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. We're nothing without you. And thank you, Lord, with whatever comes. We know, Lord, that you're a good, loving God with a purpose beyond our ability to comprehend. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to love you enough, Lord, that we're willing to allow that work of weakness in our life, that your power may be strong in our life. And help us be humble enough, Lord, to gladly receive whatever the plan is, that we might also receive that precious, sufficient grace. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if there's anybody here that would say, Brother Booth, be honest with you, I've been really struggling in my Christian life, or in my life, I'm not sure that I am saved. I've been having doubts, been too proud to admit it to anybody. But I need to get it settled. I want to know for sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that tonight? I wonder how many would say, Brother Booth, I'm saved and I'm grateful that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. God knows I needed that tonight. The Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart tonight. I've been a griper, a complainer, self-pity. And I needed to hear what I heard tonight. I've been a shameful testimony for a gracious God who's offered me grace, but I've been too proud to receive it. Tonight, the Holy Spirit spoke to me specifically. Some things I need to get settled with the Lord tonight. Pray for me as a Christian. Would you slip your hands up, Christians? God spoke to your heart tonight. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? The Lord's dealing with me about some things. Maybe something I didn't even mention, but the Lord had mentioned to you tonight. Yeah, Brother Booth. Pray for me tonight. God's dealing with me about some things. Include me in the prayer. Just put your hand up, put it down. Anybody else? God bless you. Glad we waited. Would you stand with me for prayer? After I pray, the music will begin. God spoke to your heart. You feel the need to visit the altar. You do what the Lord wants you to do tonight. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your precious word. I pray that you'd bless now and give victories tonight. A number of hands raised. I pray you'd seal those decisions. Lord, that we might leave more in love with Thee, more yielded than ever before. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. As the music plays, God spoke to your heart, you need to come, you come. Anybody seem to have a human reason to give up and quit and sit on the sidelines? Paul did. But there is no reason when His grace is sufficient. Never time to quit serving. Never time to quit soul winning. Never time to quit being faithful. You go through the more difficult trials, you just look for that more sufficient grace.
Amen. Look this way. I appreciate Brother Booth. I appreciate the fervency with which he preached tonight, just coming off that procedure last Wednesday. And, you know, it's amazing. The world's emphasis this day and age is all about strong, strength, strong. And so many times God's emphasis is, if you just get weak, I can help you. And we fight against those things that He has brought into our lives, designed to make us weak, dependent on Him. But that's a great message tonight, the way He broke that down. My grace is sufficient for thee. If you believe that, that's as good as John 3:16 in that book. Thank you, Brother Booth. I appreciate it. And thank you for giving yourself to us tonight, when I know it probably wasn't real easy to preach.